So tonight I'd like to discuss the sugyas of carpools in halacha, but not only carpools. Shalom aleichem, welcome. Not only carpools, also regarding the halachos of scenarios where you can come. Okay. Let's say I would like to present three scenarios, and hopefully we can go through the sugyas and try to draw conclusions from the different sugyas that are relevant. There are a few scenarios that come up very often lahalacha, and these are day-to-day scenarios that we really have to delve into what the conclusions are lahalacha. And it's not clear exactly in Mishneh Berurah what to do in these situations, but we face them all the time. Let's say I call you up and I say, Rabbi Gershon, is going away for his grandchild's bar mitzvah. His house is open. He's not staying in his house. And I say, I'm having, a simcha over here. I need to host and to put up all my company in the community in Shomrei Torah in Fairlawn for Shabbos. Can I have your house? Can I have it for Shabbos? So, yes, obviously this is not nogei l'halacha because Rabbi Gershon is a tzaddik and he's going to obviously tell me with that, not a problem. But can I force him to do so? Al pi halacha, is he obligated to do so? What's the halacha? Outside of whether or not someone has to do the mitzvah of chesed. Another scenario. I am at an airport and I land with Roy. We both are coming off the El Al flight from Eretz Yisrael. And I take my time. I got my bags by the luggage. And I see Roy got his bags. But I see Roy's already taken out his cell phone and he's calling a cab. And I say, you beat me to it. Once you have a cab, can I get a ride back to Fairlawn with you? And do I have to pay? He already ordered the cab. What's the halacha? Now, maybe it's just the right thing to do is to let me tag along. What happens if the scenario is different? What happens if I have a chasana, we have a chasana in the community, both mutual friend who davens with us in Shomrei Torah, and I know that Willie's going to the chasana. And I call Willie up and I say, Willie, you're going to the chasana? Can I get a ride with you? Can Willie say back to me, Ray Belzon, I know you have a car just as well as I have a car. Why don't you drive and I'll get a ride with you? What's the halacha over here? Is a person obligated to take me? Is he not? Can he say, we both have cars, we're in the same situation? These are the scenarios. Or even not, let's not even be so extreme. I don't even say to Rabbi Gershon, I want your house. I can deal with the house. I'll find Rabbi Yudin has a lot of extra rooms. I'll put him up by Rabbi Yudin. That'll be fine. But I need the parking. I need your driveway. Can I force you? Are you obligated to give me your driveway or not? Maybe I'm not obligated. These are the questions that we have to delve into, and we hopefully, by the end of this year, will come to a conclusion. The first of the sugyas that deals with this topic is a sugya in Baba Basra, on Yud Beis and Beis. The Gemara says as follows. Source number one. Ahu dezavin ara, amitzu debeinasha. A person bought a property in a certain area, on a certain border. Kikapalgu, when he inherited his father's inheritance and he was going to split it, Pulig, up with his brothers, Amrlei, Pligali Amitzroi. There's two properties that we have to split up here that our father gave us. They're equal properties, property A and property B. I, prior to this situation, before our father passed away, bought property C, which is next door to property B. So I tell him, listen, come on, be a good guy. Give me property B and you take property A. so that I could have my property next to the property that I already bought. That's what I say to the guy. That's a reasonable claim. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, this week's parsha, kigon ze, kofen al midastom. Absolutely. You can force the guy and beat him up to make sure, kofen, that he gives you property B and he takes property A so that you have them next door to each other. Maskifle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef disagrees with Rabba. Amr Le'achi, no. The other brother can say back to him, Malinan Le Ilovei Kinichse de Bar Meryon. 1 second. Rashi explains in this Gemara, even though when an onlooker looks at these two properties and he sees that they're equal and they look the same, the brothers can say, the brother that's now, we're viewing him as the mean brother, as the selfish guy, he can say, I'm not being selfish. The reason why I need property B is because these fields are all dependent on the rainfall. And the produce of the field, the productivity of the field, is dependent on some fields are better, some fields are not. So don't say to me that these fields look equally, are look equivalent in value. The other brother can say, you can't tell me that, because the second your field property B is going to get more rain, you're going to make more money. So therefore, Rav Yosef said, the brother can say, I want to keep property B, you get property A, and hatzlach on the trip. I'm sorry, I'm keeping it. And the Gemara says we paskin like Rav Yosef. The Gemara says that that's enough of a reason not to force the other brother that didn't make a prior transaction, and the field, they have to give a lottery and they have to split it up by luck of the draw, and there's no claim over here that the brother that made the prior transaction could have on him. What I want to zero in here in this Gemara is, it's true that we paskin like Rav Yosef. And a brother that has some sort of claim that the properties are not of equal value, so then we can't force him. But in principle, if there was absolutely no financial loss that any brother would suffer, so then we would apply the principle of what? Kofin al midas tom. The halacha of kofin al midas tom, Rav Yosef and Rabba aren't disagreeing in principle to the concept of kofin al midas tom, to the fact that if I face no monetary loss and you face only monetary gain, then I obviously have to help my brother out. And if I don't, I am mimicking this week's parsha of Sadamite, of Anshei Sdom, Sadamite behavior. So if that's the case, so that even Rav Yosef would agree to that. Rav Yosef just says, no, I have a svara to tell you that this is not considered no monetary loss. I can paint you a picture that this could be considered monetary loss. Okay. Okay. So if that would be the case, if he would actually evaluate the properties, so then that would be a different story. But again, that's not going to create a monetary gain by that brother. So that doesn't change the situation. We know that he has what to gain. Right, the first brother is saying exactly what Jack's saying. I am going to increase my real estate. I am going to increase all my portfolio by having these properties next to each other. The other brother that's trying to be a stickler, and he's saying, sorry, I still am only going to get one property, but I want it to be right in between your two properties. So he's basically saying, Jack, I don't care about your portfolio. I don't care that you stand to gain. I stand to lose. But in principle, if he would stand to lose, so if he would not stand to lose, so then we would have to apply the principle learned out from this week's parsha, and we would apply kofin al midas tom. Let's just try to move a little further. The problem is as follows. If you look at source number 5, source number 2. If you skip to Maseches Baba Kama, the Gemara Baba Kama says as follows. Amar le Rav Chisda le Rami Bar Chama, lo haven gabon ba'orta b'tchuma, you weren't around today. The Yibayilin Milu Mal Yasa. There were a lot of good kashas in the Beis Medrash in Shomrei Torah this morning that we heard. We're hearing such good kashas in the Beis Medrash now. Amar my Milu Mal Yasa. What did they tie in the Beis Medrash? What do they have to say? Amar Lay, the questions are like this. This is the story. Hadar b'chatzir chaveiro shalomi daito. What happens if I go into your apartment, I see you left the window open, and I need a place to stay, and I see it's a beautiful apartment, and I get in, and he's away in Florida. What's the din? Tzarech lahalos lo schar? Away in tzarech lahalos lo schar. He comes back a week later after his vacation, sees me schluffing away in his apartment, says, what? Eli, pay up. What do you think? There's no free lunch. You got to pay for this apartment. What are you doing? So the Gemara says, does he have to pay or not? The Gemara says, wait, what's the case? If we're talking about a case where he lives in this apartment and he has an apartment in Florida and he was never going to rent out this apartment in Fairlawn, the Gavra Delo of Lemegar, and I have a house on Berdan. And I just didn't want to walk over there, but I could just as easily go there and I have another place to stay. And I'm not looking to rent. I'm not in the rental market. I don't want to buy. I don't want to pay money. It just was convenient. So I saw a window open. I said, looks like a nice apartment. Let me see what it's like. Zelo nenev zelo chaser. Then the Gemara says, I didn't get any monetary benefit because I wasn't going to pay and I wasn't going to go into the rental market and find out if what the prices are and look to rent elsewhere. The Zelo Chasser, he has an apartment in Florida. He didn't lose anything. Obviously, we're assuming that I didn't damage it and nothing. There was no depreciation from the fact that I stayed there. That's what the Gemara's assumption is. So he had no monetary loss by the fact that I stayed there. So the Gemara says, Zelo Nenev, Zelo Chasser. No one lost, no one gained. Of course there's no monetary obligation. Rather, the case must be ela b'chotzer de kaimala agra, the gavra de avid lemegar. He is renting out his apartment in Fairlawn, and I jumped through the window, turned on the lights, made everyone who was possibly in the renting market this show. I showed. Sorry, this is not available. This is already rented because I'm staying there, even though I really snuck in through the window. The Gavra D'Avad Lemegar, and were it not for the fact that I found this open window, I would have had to call the Fairlawn Commons and rented another apartment, and now I got off scot-free because I found this open window. Zenenev Zechasir. So the Gemara says, that's obvious in such a case that you would have to pay rent. Because I had a monetary gain, he had a monetary loss, so of course I have to pay. So what's the case that the Gemara asked that they asked such a geshmaka question? Lo tzricha, the milim al yasa that they talked about in the Beis Medrash. B'chotzer de lo kaima la'agra, v'gavra de ovid lemeger. Mai motzi amrle, mai chasartich, odilma motzi amrle, ha'is henis. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, you want to know the case? The case is where I was going to pay rent to the Fairlawn Commons and I would have had to rent out another apartment were it not for the fact that I found this open window. Yet he has a lot of properties. His business is something else. He plays on the stock market. He doesn't need the rent to make a parnasa. And he likes having all these different properties. He wasn't going to rent out this house. He was coming back in a week. So now, do I have to pay or do I not? On the one hand, you could say, what do you mean, Eli? You got Hana. Of course you have to pay. On the other hand, I could say back to him, yeah, but I didn't cause you any monetary loss. So do I have to pay? Do I not have to pay? And to this, the Gemara goes back and forth, a whole blot and bava kama on this daf, not sure, trying to bring proofs back and forth. Yes, no, yes, no. The Gemara comes out in the end of the day in such a scenario, one is exempt from any monetary obligation. Zenene, v'zelo chaser, is potter. That's what the Gemara comes out. Fine. Tosos asks an obvious question. Tosos says, one second. Let's look at source number 3. What about the sugya in Baba Basra that talks about kofen al midas stone? What is the stone behavior? What is sadamite behavior? I don't stand any loss. you only stand to gain, right? We tell the guy, give up that middle property. You have to give it to your brother. Okay, and Rabbi Yosef has a kvetch. No, there's monetary loss here, but in principle, if there was no monetary loss, zelo chaser, so you got to remove yourself from getting that property in the Yerusha. And you have to give him the adjacent properties. So this seems to be a contradiction in Gemara's. On the one hand, the Gemara is coming out, Zenene, the Zelo Chaser, is Potter, is exempt. On the other hand, the Gemara is saying, not only are you not exempt, Kofen al Midah Stom. If you stand to gain and he stands not to lose, we beat the guy up. We're Kofen Midah Stom. And the Gemara Bava Kama says, not only do we not beat him up, we say he's Potter. He doesn't even have to pay money. But what does that mean? This is a contradiction. Either you, in one place you're discussing, does he have to pay? Does he not have to pay? I'm not sure. Maybe he could say he got monetary benefit. On the other one, we say we are going to hurt the guy because he's not acting like a good guy. You hear the question? So Tosfos says an answer. Listen to what Tosfos says in source number 3. Tosfos says, "Afilu my number parakam the baba baster koyfenosa amidas tom viavina leachad mitzra." Tosfos says, "How do you jive these two sugyas? On the one hand, you're not even sure if a person has to pay monetary obligation in a case where one gained, and for the fact that he gained, maybe he has to pay. Okay, and the Gemara comes out that you're exempt. On the other hand, the Gemara baba baster says to the opposite extreme, we force the other party that's not losing to give it to the person so that it can gain." So it says there's a distinction. Shani hacha shayyachol lemono mitchila milader bebeso. No, there's a difference. There's a very different. These situations are very different. Why are they different? Over here, a person can stand on his property that he owns and block him from entering and say, I don't want you to come into my window. I don't want you to come into my property. This is my property and I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to move in without my permission. What does Tosos mean? So Rav Shimon Shkup in his Chidushim on Baba Kama explains Tosos as follows. If I own a house in Fairlawn, he owns his apartment in Fairlawn. So if you are going to come in against my will, that is inhibiting me of expressing my rights, of my ownership rights on this property. One of my ownership rights is to stand in front of the property and, like Tosfos says, mocha, don't come in. I have that ability. I can do what I want with my property. Yet in the case of Baba Basra, where it's discussing divvying up and dividing a Yerusha, no brother owns anything yet. We are now deciding how to decipher and how to split up a father's nechassim that he's giving to all the brothers in who are equal in the situation. One brother comes from the Taina and says, no, you know what? I used to have a property over here, so therefore I should have a schus to get this property. But no one owns anything yet in terms of the two properties that are under discussion, so therefore no one is limiting their rights as ownership, and therefore, Kofen al Midas Stom, we will force the other brother to give him the adjacent property to increase his portfolio, like Jack said. However, in the case of Baba Kama, you can't say that. I already own the apartment in Fairlawn. Now you're going to tell me, Kofen al Midas Stom, you're going to tell me you have to let people schlep and dive into your window when you're not around? No, come on. Kofen al Midas Stom doesn't tell me that I now can lose my rights as owner. No, I'm a full-fledged owner, says Tosfos. And that's why the discussion in Baba Kama is only whether or not, post facto, once I dove into his apartment, am I obligated to pay? Am I not obligated to pay? But there's absolutely no discussion of whether or not the owner is obligated to let me in. Tosfos says, of course he's not obligated. That's his own private property. That's Rav Shimon Shkup says, that's his right to express his ownership. He's allowed to do with what he wants with his ownership, and you're not allowed to inhibit him, and you're not allowed to make it difficult for him to express that. So that is Tosfos' solution to this issue. However, not everyone agrees to this. If you look in source number 4, the Mordechai in Baba Kama has a different analysis of the sugya. He says, you want to know the distinction. You want to know how to resolve and jive these two Gemaras together. Kosev Rabbeinu Avi Ezri Shamati, the Avi Ezri, one of the Rishonim, says, Shamati Dematzi L'michvei Da'akoyfen Almida Stom. The Gemara in Baba Basra says you're allowed to do Kofen Almida Stom. The Yesh Lefarshim De'ein Koyfen Ela Kegoyin Hecha De'mahani. Afilu we have a boy larvuche bahamilsa, lomotzi larvuche, hilkoch kaifinale, came to lechoser midi, avahochadi have a boy balachotzil like guribay, have a mirvach, so then you don't apply kofen amida stone. Mordechai says an absolutely different distinction. Mordechai says, you want to know the difference between the sugya and Baba Kama where I jumped into the guy's apartment when he was in Florida, and I jumped into his apartment in the commons, and the sugya in Baba Basra, which is that I can force one of the brothers to relinquish his rights to property B so that the other brother can have B and C adjacent to each other and increase his portfolio. The distinction has nothing to do with ownership. It has nothing to do with expressing rights. It has nothing to do with anything Rav Shimon Shkup just said. Rather, it's very different. Is he going to make money off of this or not? Would he have rented? Is there a rental market for such an item? Is there monetary value that he could offer? Is there a market value for such an item? So then, the sugya if of Zenen of Zelo Chaser would apply. However, if there is no market value, the person would not rent such an item. So then, we walk up to the guy and say, come on. This is the way a Yid acts. This is what this is. You're being selfish. Kofen al midas tom. You're not going to make any. You're not going to make a buck off this anyways. You're not going to rent this out anyways. So just be a nice guy. Then we will lichatchila kofe force the guy because he is acting like anshei stom and he's acting in the antithesis of chesed, and that is not right. And that we will force him about. If a person has the ability to rent it out, we don't have the ability to say, you're forced to do so. Why? He can make money. If this person wants to stay here, he has to pay. We're not going to force him. So the Gemara says, post facto, if he already stayed there, we exempt him. But the Gemara wasn't sure about that. The Gemara had two different sides and he wasn't sure how to come out, and the Gemara had to go through a lengthy discussion to decipher whether you're exempt or you're chayiv, and the Gemara came out, you're exempt. But the Gemara never anticipated that we would force the guy to relinquish his rights. That's because there's monetary value in such a situation. However, the Mordechai says, in a case where a person's not going to rent it out, and there's no monetary value, and he has nothing that he could possibly potentially gain, so then, that is what the Gemara in Baba Basra says, we will force the guy to relinquish his rights, like the case of Yerusha, which is the case over there as well. So let's try to jump ahead and understand and plug it back in to our sugya and our questions, halacha lemaisa, that we addressed at the beginning of this year. The situation of the bar mitzvah. I'm making a bar mitzvah, and Rabbi Gershon went away to his grandchild, Chasana or whatever, he's away for Shabbos, and I now need his house. What about the situation about the car ride? Willie's going to the Chasana. I need a ride to the Chasana. Can I force him to give me a ride? What about the situation that Roy and I are coming off the plane in the airport and we both need a ride? So what are the answers to all these questions? So we have to assess based on the Tosfos, based on the Mordechai, the way they distinguish with these sugyas, and that will give us the practical halacha in all of our situations. Well, let's see. So, in terms of how we paskin, let's assess it between the Tosfos and the Mordechai. Now, before we discuss the car, let's discuss the house. In terms of the house, let's assume there is no loss, and I'm not limiting anything. I will get a cleaning crew after I stay. Everything will be spot clean. He is not uncomfortable at all. His house is, everything's already in its place, and there's nothing private that he doesn't want me to see. There's nothing, I'm not really impinging on him at all by staying in this house. It's fully clean now, it'll be fully clean there. And I will not damage anything. So, on the one hand, according to Tosfos, one could argue, if I'm not limiting him at all, I'm not taking away his rights as an owner, so then, maybe I could force him. Kofin al midas stone. Because again, Tosfos said, in this, only when you're limiting the person's ownership, and when you're taking away, like Rav Shimon Shkop said, his rights as an owner, the way he wants to express his ownership, so then, it's a problem. And according to the Mordechai, also, he's not going to rent out his house. He's coming back right after Shabbos. There's no market value that now he's going to have on this house. And I think, although one could argue that there is actually a market value to a house, but I think practically, because he's not going to rent it out, so in such a situation, one could argue that maybe Kofin al midas tom would apply and it really is the right thing and we should force you to do so. However, if it's limiting you in any way scenario, if there's something that his wife is uncomfortable of me being in her bedroom or in their bedroom or in any part of the house that they want to keep private and they're worried that I'm going to see that, so then obviously according to Tosfos, you're now stepping on my rights as an owner. And then we would say the sugya of Kofin al midas tom doesn't apply. And only post facto, if I jumped in without rishus and I was over in Avera, you can discuss whether or not I have to pay rent afterwards, and the answer will be that you don't, because the Gemara in the end in Baba Kama comes out to the conclusion that you are exempt. So that would be the case of the bar mitzvah. And the parking spot, his driveway, where I'm for sure not stepping on any of his rights. There's nothing private there. He has nothing to gain in most scenarios by giving me the parking spot. So then I think everyone will agree he's not going to rent it out like the Mordechai. I'm not stepping on his ownership like the Tosfos. So then Kofin al midas tom l'chora should apply. What about the ride to the chasana? What about riding shotgun? Do I have the right to say, let's say we're at the chasana, Willie has a car, I don't have a car, I want to ride back to Fairlawn. So I say to Willie, come on. Now, if Willie makes business phone calls on the way home, and there are certain things that he does in private, or he speaks to his wife, and they're going, the two of them, and now I'm going to remove that from their ability to be in private. So then, according to Tosfos, one could argue that I'm really stepping on his rights as an owner. I'm limiting him the way he can express himself, the way he can be in his private property. And that would obviously, the sugya of Kofin al midas tom would not apply. However, according to the analysis of the Mordechai, I think it's actually illegal to rent out a seat of your car if you are not a taxi driver. So if you would ask the Mordechai, would Kofin al midas tom apply to the case of a car on the way back from a chasana? The answer will be, absolutely not. You can't rent out the seat in your car. There's no monetary value to the passenger seats. And the Mordechai doesn't care about how much you want to schmooze with your wife or how many business phone calls you want to make in that car. Is the seat worth money or is it not worth money? I don't care how you want to express yourself. I don't care how you want to act. That's what the sugya is. So according to the Mordechai, I can tell Willie, I'm going home with you and I'm not even asking you. You're taking me home. That's the halacha.
So,
That's other business. That's other business. I'm not considered taking away his business. What are you going to call me? I'm damaging his business. I'm not a mazik biadayim. You can maybe say I'm a grumma on his business, but in terms of the car, you're not really causing him any monetary loss. So I think that there would not be a case of kofen al midas stone. Oh, I hear. I agree. 100%. You should not have to. Willie's making an excellent point, which I'm getting to. If Willie has to spend any extra money, then the whole Rav Yosef Svara comes back in Baba Basra. No. This is not Zenen of Zelo Chaser. There is no. There's a serious monetary. I mean, even not a serious monetary loss. There's a pruta. There's a penny. There's a nickel that I'm losing by the fact that I have to take you. So I have no claim. Then I could say, Willie, you're right. I got to walk home from there. You do not have to, especially now with the gas, right? I don't know where you're going to find the gas pump to the. But for sure, even not a scenario like this, you do not have to lose any money. But, Willie, what if you, especially in today's day with the gas issues, you say, Ellie, yeah, I'll take you home, but it's a schlep. Are you going to help me out with tolls? Are you going to help me out with the gas?
The answer is, I'm going through that tunnel anyway,
but
I'm home. I can't
take money. Why? Because once I'm in the car, I'm already getting the ride. You pass the question of whether or not it's right or whether or not I can force you to take me in the car. So then the question is, can I extract any money out of you while you're sitting in my car? Then the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, absolutely not. Zenene v'zelo chaser is pater. Now, if you want to say no, you're chaser because you're actually causing more gas because you know Rabbi Belzer, you're weighing down the car a little bit. You know, the post can deal with this in the areas of Shabbos. Is a person getting into a car actually causing extra gasoline to be expended because it's actually nogei halach Shabbos? Shmir Shabbos kol chaser made a distinction between an ambulance, which is a larger vehicle, and a regular car. But Rabbi Bleich has an article that he thinks even by a regular car, it's minuscule and you cannot put a monetary value on the amount that I am spending. So, the answer is, Willie, you cannot have any money. That would be the scenario of the car ride. However, what about the situation like with Roy Barth? I'm coming out of the airport and I wait specifically till Roy takes out his cell phone and dials the cab. And I know what Roy does. I know what he does every time he comes to the airport. I'm following. I know he's going to call cab. And I couldn't find my phone. Whatever, I make up a story. So now I can say to him, hey, Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Oh, we're going to the same place. You're not losing anything. Come on. So there, I think that the situation is different. If we're in an equal scenario, this is the svara really of carpools, because any lumdish parent at the beginning of the school year can really say, one second, Alvin, you were going to go to Pesach anyways. You know, we don't have to make a carpool. You're going. So then I'm off scot-free every morning. I don't have to drive. Come on. Zenen of Zelo Chaser. No. If we are in a scenario that we are equal in that scenario, and we have the same exact situation, so then I can't force the other person to do it just because he picked up the phone first. No, you're just as obligated as I am obligated. So then you can actually extract money and you will split the cost, which is not parallel to the case of Willie, where I'm already at the chasana, I don't have a car, he has a car, and then I could say, listen, you're not going to lose anything, kofin al midas stom, you got to help me out over here, and you can't take any money for gas or any money for tolls, and good luck for the gas station.
At the airport, we will also theoretically.
Exactly. Exactly. The airport, one would not be obligated. I cannot force you. That's exactly the point. And that's why we would have to split the cab. And I cannot mess over Roy over here and say, you already ordered the cab. You're in the situation first. I just as well could have ordered the cab just as well as he could. And I just as well could make the carpool with Alvin just as well as he could schlep there. So therefore, we both have cars. So therefore, we would therefore have to split the cost in that situation. Before we finish, so I just wanted to, we're not going to get to the other Bar Mikomos, I'm sorry. But again, in terms of Halacha L'maisa, how we paskin, it's actually interesting. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Which opinion do we accept? Do we accept the Tosfos? Do we accept the Mordechai? There's a lot of practical implications to such a question. So, if you would look straight in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokas between Maran HaMechaber and the Rambam. The Svardim hold like the Shita of Tosfos. Ownership. Don't step on my rights. I can block you. It depends if you're impinging on my rights as an owner. That's Shita HaMechaber. The Rambam, which is most of us Ashkenazic practice, says absolutely not. Mordechai, which is fascinating, which means, according to that's unbelievable. Every scenario would be, is this a rentable thing? Is there market value for such an object? Would you rent the house anyways? Unbelievable. However, at the bottom of the Pisrei Tshuva, underneath the Ramah, he quotes from the Nodeb Yehuda and the Tshuva's Beis Ephraim that says, even though in general we follow the Ramah on this one, you should really follow the Mechaber, and most of the Rishonim are of the opinion of Tosfos, and the question is dependent on whether or not we are impinging on your rights, and I'm limiting your rights as an owner or not. So if you would ask Halacha Lemaisa, what is the minig according to Rov Poskim? So the answer is like Tosfos. That, it's dependent on whether I'm limiting your rights or not. However, it's important to note, some poskim say you can't really extract money in a situation where there would be a practical implication, because a person can say, if he's a chacham, what do you mean? I am an Ashkenazi. I hold like the Ramah. I hold like the Mordechai. So therefore, one could, if he knows everything, all the different shitas, he could get out of it. But halacha lemaisa, most poskim accept the shita of the Mechaber, accept the shita of Tosos. It's based on whether or not you're extracting bialus or not. With this, we close. The Mishnah in Avos tells us, in Perek Hay, talks about four different personalities. Arba midos ba'adam. There are four different types of people. And one of the examples is Ha'omer Sheli Sheli B'shalcha Shalcha Areza Mida Beinonis. A person who deals with the world and presents the Shita, the opinion that what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. So the Mishnah refers to that. That's okay. That's a mediocre behavior. Why it's mediocre, it's for another discussion. But then the Mishnah goes on. And then the Mishnah says, V'yesh omrim hareze midas stom. That is sodomite behavior. So it's unbelievable. First of all, machlokas and pirkei avos. What's going on over here? Two opinions. Come on. And from extreme to extreme, one guy says, he's a nice guy, he's good, you can make a shidduch with his daughter. The other guy says, that guy's a rasha. I raised me the stone, that's sodomite behavior. What's going on over here? So the Maharal writes, in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, in Derech Chaim, he says, it's not a machlokas. They're not arguing. People could be saying the same thing with different focus, with a different perspective. I can say, Shali, Shali, what's mine is mine. The Shalcha, Shalcha, what's yours is yours. Because I want to make sure that I'm never going to take anything from you. And that I'm not going to have to rely on you giving me presents. And that's why. However, that's Harezim Mudus Benonis. I can hear that. The guy wants to make safeguards for himself. So he says, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. However, says the Maharal, if I say, Shali, Shali, but what's the impetus? What's the driving force why I say that? You want to know why? Because Shalcha, Shalcha. Because I don't want you coming, knocking on my door and saying, Rabbi Belazon, you have some money. Can you help me with some of your nechassim? Could you extract some of... I am so worried that day that you're going to have to come into my house and use my generator, that I go around all year round. Shali shali, shalcha shalcha. That's the reason. And the Maharam Shik says also on his Perish on Pirkei Avos, and with this we're closing, the Maharam Shik says, you know why a person does that? Because they say, kochi v'yotzem yadi. they are so stuck into their nechassim, and they think that everything they did, everything they made in the stock market, it's mine. I deserve this. I had such chachma. You don't even know the shtick I pulled in order to make all this money and make this mansion and get this generator. And you now, who did nothing, you just sat and you did nothing. And you're tired. You want to come into my house? Person who has that avodah zarah, a person whose focus on life is just I built this, and doesn't recognize that it's all not his. That it's all a gift from the Ribbono Shalom. And it's impossible to have the perspective of Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha. So that's why Harezim Midas Sdom. And that was the Avera of the Sadamites, of the Sdom in this week's Parsha. And that's what we have to recognize. There's no better Parsha, Chas V'Shalom, that the hurricane should occur. But what we do learn from this is that we own absolutely nothing. And everything we get is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there you can live in 5 pounds in Lawrence, in the nicest house, and poof, it's gone. Your car, Mercedes, will float away. That is not Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha. We are an Anshei Chesed, we're Gomlei Chasadim, we are one klal, and we have to act in such a way. Shkayach.